World Health Organization Infection Control Webinar Series, Improving Hand Hygiene Worldwide, presented on 5th of May 2010 by Professor Didier Pitet, Lead, First Global Patient Safety Challenge. World Health Organization, First Global Patient Safety Challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care.
This webinar is a way for all of us to sit down together and think about the theme for today, which is improving hand hygiene worldwide. So welcome to the webinar. Let's move together to this time and discuss and share about our view and our vision of today. Through the promotion of best practice in hand hygiene and infection control, the first global patient safety challenge aims to reduce healthcare-associated infection worldwide. When healthcare is the problem, but what is the problem? You know this slide, welcome to the hospital. Healthcare-associated infections are waiting from you at the entrance door of the hospital and will certainly complicate your hospital stay. But what is the magnitude of the problem? The objective of the first challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care, were many. The first objective was awareness raising, and in particular in this case, to try to estimate the burden of healthcare-associated infection worldwide. Estimates of the global burden of healthcare-associated infection are hampered by limited availability of reliable data, as most of you probably know. The first challenge area of work on the burden of healthcare-associated infection is focusing on understanding the magnitude of the problem. And today, we are issuing this summary on the burden of healthcare-associated infection worldwide. And I encourage all of you to go and read through this summary. The prevalence of healthcare-associated infection is extremely important. Here is a map showing you different prevalence studies and results in developed countries with a range between 5 and let's say 12%. If we look at developing countries, the numbers are different. Ranges go from actually 5 to almost 20%. This is to say that worldwide, the prevalence of healthcare-associated infection is at least twice higher in developing than in developed countries. If we now move to a more specific issue, which is device-associated, healthcare-associated infections, as you can see, in developed countries, they range. And here you have incidence infection density for central venous catheter-related bloodstream infection, for UTI, and for ventilator-associated pneumonia, but in developed countries. If I project now the figure of developing countries for the same device-associated healthcare infections, as you can see, the rates and the incidence is much higher. It actually ranged from 2 to almost 20-fold higher infection incidence density. The next slide summarizes the facts about healthcare-associated infection in developing countries. As I just say, the risk of infection is between 2 to 20 times higher than in developed countries, and the proportion of patients infected can even exceed 25%. The rates of bloodstream infections in neonates are between 3 to 20 times higher in developing countries, and in some countries, approximately half of the patients in neonatal ICUs acquire an infection. Case fatality rates may reach 52%. Ventilator-associated pneumonia incidence varies from 10 to 42 per 1,000 ventilator days. VAP is associated with a crude mortality ranging from 16 to 94% and with increased length of stay in critical care. So these are important facts about healthcare-associated infection. There are many others, but those are certainly easily summarized. Now, when healthcare is the problem, we definitively need a solution. So do we have this solution? Well, as you certainly know, the first principle of infection prevention is that at least between 35 and 50% of all healthcare-associated infections are associated actually with only 5 patient care practices. Only 5 patient care practices. Think about this. And those are use and care of urinary catheters, use and care of vascular access lines, therapy and support of pulmonary functions, and safety of surgical procedures. Hand hygiene and standard precaution is the last, but not least, certainly not least, of these 5 patient care practices that are so important to prevent infections in hospitals. Let's look now at the trends of the scientific literature, scientific papers on hand hygiene published between 1996 and 2009. As you can see, around the year 1999-2000, we see a tremendous and linear increase in the number of publications published in the literature addressing the issue of hand hygiene. And this is an excellent news. The reason why this is so excellent is that, yes, we will learn more and more about hand hygiene. And we'll continue to do so over the next future. The next slide shows the perceived hand hygiene compliance among healthcare workers, actually about their own compliance, perceived percentage of opportunities with correct hand hygiene by oneself. You see the median values and the 25 to 75% percentile, and these are the values that we obtain in our pilot site of the WHO strategy in Costa Rica, Italy, Mali, Pakistan, and as you can see in Saudi Arabia for the 2 last hospitals. As you can see nicely, and that's a large number of respondents, more than 2,000 healthcare workers, as you can see nicely on this graph, healthcare workers think and suppose that they are observant with hand hygiene, that they comply with hand hygiene in a range between 80 and almost 100%. This is what they think, but what about the reality? On this next slide, you see the compliance with hand hygiene in different healthcare facilities worldwide based on a very large review of the literature that is actually published in the WHO guidelines on hand hygiene in healthcare in chapter 16. Without entering into the details, the average compliance in these very large series, the largest that had been pulled together up to today, the average compliance of healthcare workers was 38.7%, let's say around 39%. So as you can see, we are very far away from what the healthcare worker perceived about their own compliance, which was between actually 80 and almost 100%. On the next slide, very interestingly, here is hand hygiene compliance at baseline before any intervention in the WHO pilot sites of the strategy, as you can see in Costa Rica, in Hong Kong, in Italy, in Mali, in Saudi Arabia, in 2 different hospitals, and in Pakistan. And as you can see, compliance varies and range between actually 8 and 54%. But on average, it was 37%. So very, very close to what the literature talked to you about a little earlier, that was almost 39%, right? So definitively, the WHO pilot sites in which, as you will understand later, we actually implemented the strategy for hand hygiene promotion were on the average of what you could recognize worldwide nowadays. Now, what are the reasons for these non-compliance with hand hygiene? On this slide, you have self-reported factors for poor adherence with hand hygiene. The healthcare workers tend to say that too often they are very busy and they have insufficient time to comply with hand hygiene practices. Then, some of them say that hand hygiene interferes with a nice healthcare worker-patient relation. Next, low risk of acquiring infection from patients is another explanation. Then the lack of a role model from colleagues or superiors is a very frequent complaint by the healthcare workers. Non-thinking about it, forgetfulness of the importance of hand hygiene, skepticism about the value of hand hygiene, disagreement with the recommendations, and the lack of scientific information of definitive impact of improved hand hygiene on healthcare-associated infections are other explanations self-reported for the poor adherence of hand hygiene practices by healthcare workers. Now, importantly, clean hands reduce the burden of infection. These we know. If you look at the literature, from 1975 to March 2010, at least 30 studies, and we looked at rigorous studies that demonstrate the effectiveness of hand hygiene to reduce healthcare-associated infections, at least these 30 studies have been published in the literature. So the evidence is here. We can say that definitively the evidence is here, not only for washing with soap and water, but of course for recourse to alcohol-based hand rub, which is, as you know, today the recommended standard of care for these practices. Importantly, another argument that is frequently reviewed will be discussed later. But before that, I would like to remind you that speaking of the effectiveness in this inaugural infection control webinar series, in this series of 3 months infection control webinar presentations that take place from the beginning of this year, we have a special hand hygiene focus to celebrate Save Lives, Clean Your Hands, between the 5th and the 7th of May. And tomorrow, I would encourage you to attend the lecture on impact of hand hygiene improvement on healthcare-associated infections that will be delivered by Lindsay Grayson from Melbourne, Australia, that will precisely address the impact of hand hygiene improvement on healthcare-associated infection. So I will not give more details about the definitive results that several teams around the world have been published on the benefits of hand hygiene promotion. But before we move to the next topic of the discussion, I would like to remind all of you that numerous reports, confirm that alcohol-based hand rub formulations are well tolerated and often associated with better acceptability and tolerance than other hand hygiene products. And for the details, I will encourage you to access the WHO guideline on hand hygiene in healthcare published last year that definitively review this parameter in a very important way. There are also many papers that have been published more recently and will still be published to really support this concept that is definitively very important for healthcare workers. Now, when healthcare is the problem, we have the solution. Now, the next issue is that we need to act on implementing the solution. And as you know, in clinical medicine, this is a very important and difficult matter. Now, let's come back on the three objectives of the challenge. I discussed partly the first objective, raising the awareness. I will now discuss and summarize for you the second one, mobilizing nations. And we did that and we are continuously doing it through country pledges and national campaigns. Now, as you know, we have been asking Ministry of Health to commit to this campaign. Why is it so? Because political commitment is essential to achieve improvement in infection control. Ministerial pledges to the first global patient safety challenges have been very important to stimulate the worldwide scale-up of this campaign, but also every single hospitals in every single country to participate. Here is what your minister has signed, or maybe will sign in the near future. I, Ministry of Health, resolve to work to reduce healthcare-associated infection through actions such as acknowledging the importance of healthcare-associated infection, hand hygiene campaigns at national or subnational levels, sharing experience and available surveillance data, if appropriate, and using WHO strategies and guidelines, as well as others available, to really implement the action. Here are different pledges signed by different Ministry of Health from all around the world. The next slide shows you pledges ceremonies that occurred as examples in Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, Northern Ireland, Kenya, USA, Russia, France, Bhutan, Republic of Ireland, just to show a few of those images and photos that were taken during these pledge ceremonies where the Ministry of Health handed the pledge to myself or to Sir Liam Donaldson, the Chief Medical Officer of England. Where are we today? Here we are, and this is on this next slide. A total of 123 countries have committed and are committed to address healthcare-associated infections. These represent 87% of the world population. And this is what happened between October 2005 and May 2010, as you can see on this slide. Of course, there are some countries that are still not part of the strategy, which doesn't mean that hospitals in their own countries are not participating. And there are some countries that will sign this pledge very soon, even within the next month or within this same year. Importantly, among those countries, several have embarked into hand hygiene national campaigns. And here is a map of the world with the so many countries with an active hand hygiene campaign currently working. So I could only encourage your country to follow this example and also to participate in our group of countries that share their experience into national campaigning for hand hygiene. This is certainly a very important support for each of the hospitals that embark into hand hygiene promotion. On this next slide, you see adoption and adaptation of Clean Care is Safer Care worldwide campaign translated into so many posters, so many tools that have been developed in so many countries from all around the world. We cannot show you all these material. We will try to do so if you are asking for it so that you can be inspired in your country. I have elected to actually show you some example of one of the most, if not the most important tool, which is the next tool, the My 5 Moments approach. My 5 Moments for hand hygiene. As you know, this tool has been developed based on research approach and has gone through then social marketing issues and concept, making it easier to understand, to remember, to practice in order for hand hygiene indications at the point of care to really be a daily reality for each healthcare workers. This is the My 5 Moments for hand hygiene concept that most of you know. All indications for hand hygiene being summarized and could be summarized into these five moments before touching a patient, before clean aseptic procedure, after body fluid exposure risk, after touching a patient, and after touching patient surroundings. But now these has been adapted, of course. And the next slide shows the adoption and adaptation of your 5 moment for hand hygiene in Scotland. As you can see, 3 different figures, 3 different schemes from Scotland for 3 different types of patients. Here is a contribution from Scotland. WHO tools adaptation means adoption. So we strongly encourage all of you to take those tools and adapt them. The next slide shows another example, adaptation of the strategy in Vietnam, in Saudi Arabia, and here in Vietnam and in Saudi Arabia, as you can see, just to see a few of them, of few of those adaptations. Once again, adaptation meaning adoption. And this next slide shows your 5 moments for hand hygiene here in the NHS in the UK. Just again to show you another example, but I could spend a long time to actually show you so many of those adaptations. Importantly, the implementation strategy and toolkit for the WHO guidelines on hand hygiene in healthcare, which brings the knowledge and the evidence, is actually working at translating knowledge and evidence into action. Action at the point of care, which is, as you know, so important. Now, to do this, we have developed this WHO multimodal hand hygiene improvement strategy, which is really so important. It's based on evidence from the recommendation. It has 5 core components. And those 5 core components are really critical in order to promote hand hygiene. The first component is system change, which is alcohol-based hand drops at the point of care, which is definitively so important, as well as access to safe continuous water supply, soap and towels, which is certainly not an issue for most developed countries, but maybe an issue for developing countries. But the system change that really makes it feasible is alcohol-based hand drop at the point of care. Second is training and education, providing regular training to all healthcare workers. The third is evaluation or monitoring, if you like, and feedback of the performance, monitoring hand hygiene practices, infrastructure, perceptions and knowledge of healthcare workers while providing results, feedback to healthcare workers. The fourth is reminders in the workplace, prompting and reminding healthcare workers about the importance of healthcare associated infection and hand hygiene. And the fifth being institutional safety climate, which is so important. Individual active participation of each healthcare worker, institutional support, and also patient participations in system where it is feasible, it has been studied and implemented. As you very well understand, we moved for implementation from this concept of country pledge. So it means the Ministry of Health engaging himself and his country to participate to actually the point of care. Point of care being really for us the most important, making sure that patient will benefit from our action. Within this key concept of moving action to the point of care, here we are. Save lives, clean your hands. The 5th of May. May the 5th. Through an annual day focused on hand hygiene improvement in healthcare, this initiative promotes continual, sustainable best practice in hand hygiene at the point of care in all healthcare settings around the world. And today, here we are on the 5th of May. Isn't it great? Let's look at the great support that we got for these 5th of May initiatives. Save lives, clean your hands, our stakeholders around the world. IFIC, the International Federation of Infection Control, IPCAN, the Infection Prevention and Control Africa Network. CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States, European CDC in Europe, and so on and so on. Save lives, clean your hands, our stakeholders around the world. Here are some examples in the United States, Maryland Healthcare Commission. Here are examples from actually the Kaiser Permanente and other hospitals in California. And here are some many other examples in the United States and North America in this case. The cut down for Save Lives, Clean Your Hands, started in January 2010. Remember last year on the 5th of May, we had 5,000 hospitals. This year, beginning of January, we had 6,000 hospitals. But the cut down started, and guess how many we are today? As of yesterday, May the 4th, 10 at night, Geneva time, we were more than 10,000. Remember, our target is 10,000, was 10,000. Let me tell you that based on the numbers of yesterday, we are at 11,543 hospitals worldwide manifesting and being all together. Here is the map of the world with those hospitals. Facilities registered update on the 4th of May 2010. As you can see, 11,543 registered healthcare facilities from no less than 137 countries, which represent over 6.5 million healthcare staff and over 2.7 million patient beds. This is just absolutely fantastic, and I would like to encourage all of you to participate, but first of all, to thank you all for being with us, for being together, because this momentum will really help many institutions from around the world to join and participate. If you look at the global impact, here is the cumulative number of hospitals registered for Save Lives, Clean Your Hands. And as you can see, many of the hospitals registered over the past several weeks and will continue to do so. Hospitals registered for Clean Hands by region, WHO regions, are shown on these slides. And as you can see, there are different numbers. There are regions of the world that still need to improve markedly, like Africa, probably EMRO, CIRO, but it's clear that the momentum is worldwide. Register your facility and encourage others to show commitment by signing up now on the site of the 5th of May. You must continue to register so that the commitment is larger and larger every minute, so that healthcare workers participate and patients benefit from the strategy. Now, importantly, what is the evidence of successful implementation of the solution, of the strategy worldwide? I have now the privilege to show for the first time the results of the pilot sites from the WHO strategy worldwide. Let me remind you that this was our third objective. Technical guidelines and tools were developed together with an implementation strategy that needs to demonstrate success so that we could expand with the strategy. Let me show these slides. That is also a big thank you to all the hospitals that participated in this field testing of the WHO guidelines on hand hygiene in healthcare between 2006 and 2008. As you can see on this map, there were more than 350 complementary sites. This is to say hospitals which benefited from the strategy and the document and the tools, but almost with no help from our site, as well as the pilot sites in Costa Rica, Mali, Italy, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and China, Hong Kong, where we actually supported and making sure that every step of the strategy would be actually accepted and endorsed. I will show you now the results of the pilot sites, though the sites that are in gray on this slide. First of all, we asked the healthcare workers, and this is a survey in 230 healthcare facilities worldwide, we asked about the importance attributed to each of the elements of the WHO strategy to achieve hand hygiene improvement. Remember, we have five elements to this strategy, but we ask for actually several parameters. When you looked from left to right, guides to implementation, extremely well ranked. Action plan, extremely well ranked. But now, when we looked at the five elements, system change, education, observation and feedback, reminders, and patient safety climate, they were extremely well received by those 230 healthcare facilities worldwide. Let's now look at the results. And for the very first time, I showed you most of the results of the pilot sites of the WHO strategy, overall hand hygiene compliance improvement. And we are talking about a total of more than 23,000 opportunities for hand hygiene at baseline and more than 24,000 opportunities at follow-up. Here you can see compliance with hand hygiene before and after the intervention, before the intervention being in blue and after the intervention being in violin. As you can see, compliance that is given by the bar and the 95% confidence interval increased all over the places, whether it would be in Costa Rica, in Italy, in Mali, in Pakistan, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, in two different hospitals. And in the last column, you can see the pooled sampling of the strategy. The next slide shows you a very important parameter, compliance with hand hygiene before and after intervention, showing the same colors for the same figures. But here you see comparisons for nurses in all those pilot sites, or auxiliary nurses, students, whether medical or nursing students, medical doctors, therapists, physiotherapists, logotherapists, and other technicians, and other healthcare workers. And as you can see, and very, very importantly, compliance improved in all healthcare workers categories. And this is absolutely fantastic because it will definitively improve patient safety. Let me summarize for you the main results from the pilot sites. First of all, we observed a significant increase in hand hygiene compliance from 39.6% at baseline to actually 56.9%, and those are pooled means, at follow-up, with improvement across all professional categories. The preferred recourse to alcohol-based hand rubs was clear in all pilot sites. 49% of all hand hygiene actions were performed using alcohol-based hand rubs at baseline versus 70% at follow-up, with local production of a low-cost WHO formulation in 6 of the 8 sites and national scale-up in 5 of the 6 sites. Improvement in healthcare workers' perception and knowledge about the importance of healthcare-associated infection and hand hygiene was absolutely key. Evidence of creation or strengthening of an institutional safety climate was monitored and demonstrated. And finally, demonstration of implementation, feasibility, and adaptability of the WHO multimodal hand hygiene improvement strategy and its toolkit, considered as successful model for other infection control interventions. So these are, ladies and gentlemen and dear colleagues, extremely, extremely good and encouraging and exciting results. Speaking of a WHO formulation and the WHO and the alcohol-based hand rub being available at the point of care, as illustrated on all these different places from all around the world, where you can definitively see that alcohol-based hand rub is available at the point of patient care, we looked at the local production of the WHO recommended hand rub formulation in 11 pilot sites all over the world. Production was conducted at hospital level in 7 of those 11 sites. Production volumes ranged from 10 to 600,000 liters per month at a cost that ranged from 0.3 to 0.5 US cents or US dollar per 100 milliliter. We had optimal quality control results in all sites. We obtained stability at tropical temperature up to 19 months after production. And we had optimal tolerability and accessibility by healthcare workers. And we had scale up to national production of alcohol-based hand rub in 5 sites. I showed you the example of Mali in Africa. We had the full implementation of the WHO strategy at the Hospital du Point G in Mali. We observed an increase in hand hygiene compliance from 8% to 22%. We observed a decrease of healthcare-associated infection prevalence from 18.7% to 15.3%. Local production of 3,100 pocket alcohol-based hand rub bottle of the WHO formulation at the price of 0.3 US dollar per 100 milliliter. And we obtained a ministerial engagement for national scale-up in 2009. On the right-hand side, you have the results of compliance improvement in the different area of the hospital and for the different healthcare workers. And importantly, this ministerial engagement was also very important in engaging what to me was extremely important. It's shown on this next slide. In Yaoundé, on the September the 4th, 2008, 27 countries of Africa, of the Afro region of WHO, signed the pledge of the strategy following the example of Mali. And this is extremely important and extremely attractive for all of us and should be an example. On the next slide, I have chosen to show you Hong Kong results from system change to behavioral change. As you can see, Hong Kong produced alcohol-based hand rub locally, actually at the Department of Health, for all hospitals in Hong Kong. And the results of the strategy, the implementation of the strategy, was in 2 steps. From 28.3% compliance in the test hospitals to actually 55% after 4 to 6 months, with a sustained impact after again 4 to 6 months. And as you can see in orange in the test hospital. In the meantime, in the control hospital, there was almost no change in hand hygiene compliance. And this is very important because this is probably one of the very first study where there is a control hospitals to actually assess the impact of the strategy. In one hospital, they could demonstrate a saving of US$15,000 in 2007 as to compare to 2006 as a result of the hand hygiene promotion strategy. As a last example from pilot sites, I showed you the example of Bangladesh. Pilot testing at Chittagong Medical Hospital. New infection control was established. Production of alcohol-based hand rub solution at low cost. Sink installation and improved water supply. Compliance at follow-up was 65%. The Ministry of Health is planning a national scale-up and an institutionalization of infection control and hand hygiene, as exemplified here with 30,000 patient bed, 3,100 sinks installed, more than 100,000 liters of alcohol-based hand rub produced, small bottles produced also in large amount, 6 national coordinators for infection control, 7 national coordinators, physicians for the country. A very nice example of a countrywide perspective that is not that is extremely encouraging worldwide. Finally, a National Society for Infection Control that was launched as the result of our strategy. Speaking of the implementation of the WHO strategy, what were the key success factors? System change, especially low-cost local production of the WHO formulation and including evidence on good tolerability, strong support by the facility directorate and leads, effective local coordination, strong support by the national authorities and WHO office, education, a critical component that was most widely sustainable, and the multimodal approach of the strategy and the stepwise action plan. What are the indicators of long-term sustainability in pilot sites as two-year follow-up? Extension hospital-wide is very frequent. Renewed and or mandatory educational activities, poster refreshment with poster competitions in two sites, continuation of hand hygiene compliance monitoring at least in some wards or alcohol-based hand rub consumption monitoring, national scale-up in different places, catalytic influence on other countries in the region, as I explained it to you for Africa just before. Importantly, we have to recognize the barriers to implementation and to long-term sustainability, which are resistance to improvement by physicians in particular, lack of human resources, including to continue hand hygiene compliance monitoring, lack of funding for continuous provision of alcohol-based hand rubs, high staff turnover, work overload and understaffing, coexistence of different cultures, and discontinuation of support by leaders. But importantly, based on testing, finalization of the WHO guideline on hand hygiene in healthcare was conducted and the final version published actually in May 2009 with a range of tools and a guide to implementation linked to this range of tools in order to really translate the guideline into practice. I would really encourage all of you who never access this document to go ahead and use these documents. Now, importantly, we have to develop new tools. And that's what we have done over the past several years. New tools to ensure sustainability of the solution in your hospital as well as worldwide. And those new tools, I have the huge privilege to actually introduce you to these new tools today on the 5th of May, which is our anniversary of worldwide campaigning. The first of these two new tools is Hand Hygiene Moment 1, a global observation survey tool. WHO calls healthcare facilities to participate in a global survey on or around the 5th of May. So it means that you can continue to do so by observing hand hygiene compliance with Moment 1, which is before touching a patient, and submitting your data to WHO. Why? Well, it is to motivate healthcare workers to focus on taking action to improve and sustain hand hygiene, including the important indication for hand hygiene before touching a patient, which is the one that really protects the patient. To assess healthcare worker compliance with Moment 1 and to assess global compliance with Moment 1 through secured data collection and analysis. It will give us and all of us actually a taste of what's going on worldwide. How? Undertaking the survey hand hygiene observations in your facility, facility-wide or in some specific area or department only, you are still in time. Please access our tools and use those tools. Using the new Hand Hygiene Moment 1 observation form and the Hand Hygiene Moment 1 Global Observation Survey instructions available at the WHO website as listed here on the bottom of the slide. Let me show you now just one image of this tool, Hand Hygiene Moment One Observation Tool, a very simple way to monitor one of the five moments for hand hygiene, as you can see here, a very, very simple tool that we encourage all of you to actually access and use. This tool is available in English, in French, in Spanish. It is also available in Italian, and from yesterday, I know that it is available also in Chinese, and I will encourage all of you to use it and to enjoy using these tools over this day and try to send us this data if you wish, so that we can have an idea of what's going on worldwide. The second of our tools and our 5th of May 2010 surprise gift is the following: the Hand Hygiene Self-Assessment Framework, which to me is the next revolution, the next important tool in hand hygiene. This is a validated and systematic tool to obtain a situation analysis of hand hygiene promotion and practices and identify the level of progress within your own healthcare facility toward hand hygiene promotion. The Hand Hygiene Self-Assessment Framework, as I say, can monitor the progress in your healthcare facility, the progress that you realize so that your facility could become a hand hygiene excellence center. Why? Well, it's important to assess the level of progress of your healthcare facility with regards to infrastructures, to resources, to actions, to commitment and achievements in order to ensure optimal hand hygiene practices. It is also to facilitate development of an action plan for the facility's hand hygiene improvement program, and also to identify key issues requiring attention and improvement, and to document progress over time through the repeated use of the framework. Well, all of this is so important in hand hygiene. We need to ensure and to monitor sustainability, and we need to ensure that we are making progress over time. How can you do that? You just download the framework at the address that is actually mentioned here, the address of the 5th of May Global Patient Safety Challenge, and you can do it from now, 5th of May onwards. Then you complete the framework, and you can calculate by yourself a score that identifies the assigned level of hand hygiene promotion and practice in your own healthcare facility. So please do it, because you will know where you are in becoming a hand hygiene excellence center. And let me show you some of those important elements. How is the framework structured? The hand hygiene self-assessment framework is divided into 5 components and 27 indicators. The 5 components reflect the 5 elements of the WHO multimodal hand hygiene improvement strategy. There are 4 levels of hand hygiene promotion and practice. Inadequate, so it would be hand hygiene practices and hand hygiene promotion are deficient in your facility, and significant improvement is required. Basic, some measures are in place, but not to a satisfactory standard. Further improvement is required. Intermediate, an appropriate hand hygiene promotion strategy is in place, and hand hygiene practices have improved. It is now crucial to develop long-term plans to assure that improvement is sustained and progresses. Advanced, hand hygiene promotion and optimal hand hygiene practices have been sustained and/or improved, helping to embed a culture of safety in the healthcare setting. And finally, leadership level. Your facility is a reference center and contributes to the promotion of hand hygiene through research, innovation, and information sharing. Let me now show you how this framework is organized. I just give you a few examples. Hand hygiene self-assessment framework, system change. There are many questions on system change that are listed, and there are always answers that conduct to a scoring system, to a score. And then there is a relation with the WHO improvement tools that you can use in case you don't reach the maximum, right? This is for system change. And the same is for training and education. Once again, you see here only part of the survey material. Same for the third element, which is evaluation and feedback. Same for the reminders in the workplace. Again, you can score your institution, speaking of the way you are reminding healthcare workers about the importance of hand hygiene promotion. And finally, fifth element, institutional safety climate for hand hygiene. Is your institutional safety climate really at the level that you hope or that you wish to obtain so that the entire institution can move toward better hand hygiene compliance? Well, this is a very important element, the fifth of the five multimodal component, and you can assess it at your institution for hand hygiene using this tool. And finally, there is a four-step process where you actually sum up your numbers and you obtain your level, your hand hygiene level, whether it will be inadequate, whether it will be basic, intermediate, or advanced. This is extremely important for you to know where you are. Let me tell you that this tool has been tested. This tool has been tested, testing of the framework usability by different hospitals, 26 from all around the world that are pictured on this slide. And I really would like to thank those fantastic institutions for kindly testing the tool before the others. This has been tested, so ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, you can use those tools. They have been assessed worldwide for the feasibility and the validity. How long do you estimate it took you to complete the hand hygiene self-assessment framework? Well, on a median and on average, it takes between 1 and 2 hours. So it's very, very quick, very, very fast to actually monitor hand hygiene assessment framework at your institution. So please do so. The general comments from testing sites that we obtain are absolutely fantastic. Good document. We will use the system and repeat the scores from South Africa. It is an excellent tool for hand hygiene assessment in my institution. I firmly believe that it helps create a positive impact in hand hygiene promotion campaigns throughout the countries and world from Bangladesh. Very creative tool. It would be very good if the Global Patient Safety Challenge team would use it to reward hospitals issuing certificate or award according to their score. This will create a sense of motivation among staff, and this was from Saudi Arabia. From Nigeria in Africa, we got a fantastic comment. Even if the level of hand hygiene in our facility according to this assessment is basic, I enjoyed the self-assessment and will make efforts toward improvement. Isn't it fantastic? And then finally from Canada, excellent work. Very good. Seriously, congratulations. It provides a very brief but thorough overview of what a hospital has accomplished and areas for improvement. So this testing is really something that was very, very encouraging. Save lives. Clean your hands. 5th of May 2009, and we are committed today on the 5th of May 2010. Register your healthcare facility if you haven't done so, and encourage others to show commitment by signing up now on our website and accessing all our tools. Very difficult to tell you today how many countries with hospitals are celebrating the 5th of May. Here is a map of the world. What I can tell you is certainly many, many, many more. But please let us know so that we can know, we can record that your hospital is participating on the 5th of May. I cannot tell you how many hospitals. I can only give you a few images that I got. Here is an image from Hong Kong celebrating the 5th of May with different events. Here is another very, very important message from Senegal in Africa. Hand hygiene integrated in a national infection control program in a country with limited resources. National action plan started in 2005. Education, hand hygiene program, infection control committee, national healthcare associated infection prevalence survey, new national policies for medical waste management, new national policies on antibiotic use launched today on the 5th of May in Senegal. And the 5th of May national event with the participation of the Ministry of Health and WHO representative and, of course, myself through video link. More events on the 5th of May around the globe. Here is the picture of Senegal, of course, written in French because Senegal is a French-speaking country from Africa. Here is what is happening in Italy with a countrywide initiative that is very, very encouraging. Congratulations to our Italian colleagues. Here is an image of Singapore, as you can see, in the National University Hospital. Congratulations to Singapore. And here are images from Australia, in this case from the Austin Health Hospitals, even facilitating visitors to actually promote hand hygiene. And that's very important because visitors and patients are our partners for these initiatives. Inaugural infection control webinar series, I would remind you that tomorrow, celebrating Save Lives, Clean Your Hands, 5th of May, Lindsay Grayson will give the next lecture on the impact of hand hygiene improvement on healthcare associated infection, and I will really encourage all of you to actually attend this lecture by Lindsay to me, extremely important. Last but not least, I would like to conclude this webinar by showing you this figure that actually impressed and gave a lot of solidarity to the movement for this alcohol-based hand rub preparation that will facilitate clean hands. Clean hands mean safer health care. And I would like to conclude with a summary conclusion by Margaret Chan, the WHO, current WHO Director General, saying to all of us, I wish you many more years of saving lives by keeping hands clean. I don't want to finish without thanking all the team so dedicated in Geneva, the core team at WHO, the key partners at WHO, the core team at the University of Geneva Hospitals that have made these events possible and that have made this 5th of May such an important and key initiative for the safety of patients. Thank you very much for your attention. I would be more than happy now to answer your questions. Could you explain us which are the main differences between cleaning hands only with water and soap and using alcohol solution for hand rubs? And importantly, to this answer, it is critical that you understand that we have moved from soap and water hand washing to alcohol-based hand rubbing for very simple reason. First of all, to make hand hygiene possible at the point of care by every healthcare workers, because time is so important. Time is so short for healthcare workers to clean their hands in an appropriate way every time is necessary. Only alcohol-based hand rub can help and can do it. Secondly, it is much better tolerated than soap and water. Thirdly, it is in most of the time more cost-effective than medicated soap, and it is also much better tolerated. And as you have seen during this webinar, it is also made available in resource-poor countries at a very low cost. So this will be my short but very summarized answer to this question. We will continue to answer to your questions if you provide them on a written through the website, and we will continue to answer. I thank you all for your attention, and I wish you a wonderful 5th of May in your different institutions.